Seated, we're going to read from the Bible. Then after we have read from the Bible, we're going to sing another song. But we're going to first read Psalm 149, Psalm 149, beginning at verse 1. This is God's word. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with a tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, it's just a joy to be able to sing your praise. You are superbly, supremely, wonderfully worthy of our adoration. And we're glad to have hearts that are overflowing with delight in who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us, and we pray that as we think now on your word, that it will be helpful to us, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favourite Christmas memories growing up was carol singing. No matter what the weather, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve, we would go around houses in the local area singing Christmas carols and Christmas songs. Very fond memories, some highlights, singing a carol, and then the person comes and opens the door, and then you'd ask what carol they'd like, and they would ask for the same one again, not realising which one you'd sung. And you're thinking, how long is it going to take them to realise we've just sung this one? Or another occasion, me and a cousin and I ran to the front door of a house, and we loved getting the singing going, and we started a carol to the wrong tune. But even that didn't dampen our Christmas enthusiasm as the other carol singers came behind us and helped in the train wreck that had to stop and restart. But it was all good fun. At Christmas time, we sing songs, don't we, that we don't ordinarily sing during the rest of the year. And we've all got our favourites, I'm sure. Hark the Herald, what fantastic words. Oh, Little Town, Silent Night, Wild Shepherds, From the Squalor. I'm sure you could list many more. Well, this morning, as a one-off, we've just finished our Jonah series. I've just been reading a book recently, and just the fact that we sing carols at Christmas, I thought as a one-off it would be helpful for us to think about singing. The Christmas story is a story that has many songs in it, and sometimes as we're reading through the Christmas story, the Christmas account, sometimes we don't know whether it's a song that's been written down or a poem or just something someone said, but it seems like Mary sang and Zechariah sang and Simeon possibly sang. Others may have done, I'm sure others did. I'm sure Elizabeth sang. People singing even though it's not recorded for us. Maybe the wise men sang. And of course, how can we forget the great company of heavenly hosts sang? Can you imagine being one of those shepherds, just being there, usual, ordinary night? What a sight to behold, and what a sound to hear. The best musical concert in the history of the world. Incredible. For those of us who have decided to join with the rest of the church family and have started using this book, O Come Let Us Adore Him, you will have read this morning, or you will be about to read later in the day, these words. The angels sang because the everlasting Father had come to extend arms of redeeming grace to all who would give their hearts to him. And the part aimed at the children asks the children, what is your favourite song? What do you enjoy singing? Why do you think people sing? And the book asks you to discuss the reason why you think the angels sang at the birth of Jesus. It's a natural response, isn't it? When we're filled with joy, when we want to celebrate, to sing. Now, it would be a mistake to think that singing, of course, is a Christmas-only activity. It would be a mistake to think that some of the things that we think about this morning only apply to the month of December. Singing is one of the main things that we do when we gather as church. Right through the Bible, we see people singing. Moses sang, David sang, the prophets sang, Jesus sang. There is singing going on in heaven, so we need to understand it. Very straightforward this morning. Three simple questions: why, how, where. So first question, why sing? People sing at football matches. People sing when listening along to the radio. People sing in the shower. Christians should be singing people. Three reasons. First, very basic and fundamental. We should sing because we have been created to sing. God created us to sing. Isn't that wonderful? God gave us a vocal box, not just with the capacity to communicate through speech, but also with the ability to be able to sing. So the psalmist writes in Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Children sing from a very early age. But apparently, when a baby is still being formed, around the 12-week mark, vocal cords of a baby begin to grow. Isn't that remarkable? At 12 weeks. And are working long before the baby is born. Now, of course, we all sound different, but it's the same for everyone. Breath flows up from our lungs, vibrates on our vocal cords in our throats, and then comes out of the articulators of our mouth, tongue, and lips. Wonderfully created, designed by God to be able to speak and also sing. But it's even more amazing than that. God didn't just give us the hardware, if you like, for singing. He also gave us the software. When we sing, our minds are engaged. Our memories are engaged. Our intellect is engaged. Our imaginations are engaged. And our hearts are engaged in the process. But it's not just people that God made to sing. Howard's going to put up on the screen for us Psalm 98. And we've already read Psalm 149, a psalm about singing, but this is Psalm 98. And I would sing this, but I don't know the tune. And also, I'm going to let you join in with me. And we're just going to say this together. Because this psalm is such an incredible psalm, all about it's not just people that are singing. So if you feel comfortable, please say this psalm along with me. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." What a great psalm, Psalm 98. It's like the whole of creation is singing. The earth, the sea, everything in the sea, everything on the earth, the rivers and the mountains are all singing. But it's not just the world. As God created the world, he had singing accompaniment. The morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So we are part of God's world. God is a God who made us in his image. The heavens are declaring his glory. God, you could say, is a singing God, and so we are created to sing. I think that's a pretty good reason, is it not, to sing? Because God created us to. But not only did God create us to sing, we are also commanded to. So not to sing is to sin. It's to disobey God. The psalmist, Psalm 149 in verse 1, we read it earlier, says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints." That's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. Not if you feel like it. Not if you can. We are commanded to sing. The New Testament picks up exactly the same command. Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." So we are commanded to. Later we'll come back to that verse as it gives us details on the how and where. But for now, we see that it is our duty as people who belong to God to sing. And Jesus himself shows it's the right thing to do because he kept that command. It's what we read in Matthew 26 and verse 30. "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." That was the night before Jesus was crucified. The night before Jesus was crucified, what was Jesus doing before his death? He was singing hymns. That thrills my heart. So we are created to, we are commanded to, but it's not a duty, is it? We don't sing just because we were created with the capabilities or just because we're commanded to. Is it not our joy to sing? Third reason, we are compelled to. In a small way, you see this at a football match. Someone does something deemed impressive, and the supporters begin to sing that player's name or sing the praise of the team. And didn't it come through in the psalm that we read together? The whole idea that creation just can't help itself. This is a joy-filled event, being able to sing praise. It's not a duty. It's not something that's really laborious or something that has to be done. It is a task that we're commanded to keep that is a joy-filled event. John Newton once wrote this: "Our pleasure and our duty, though opposite before, since we have seen his beauty, are joined to part no more." Our pleasure and our duty, though opposite before, since we have seen his beauty, are joined to part no more. God commands what is for our good. And so we are compelled to sing to him. Pastor Alistair Begg speaks about how he can tell when someone who previously was on the sidelines of faith has embraced the gospel story. And he says he knows when that has happened by seeing them with full eyes and I'm fully engaged in the singing. Saved people are compelled to sing. Songwriter Bob Caplin writes of singing in worship of God that is not primarily about music, technique, song or methodology. It's about our hearts. It's about what and who we love more than anything else. The joy of our salvation can't remain bottled up in our hearts, can it? It needs to come out. It needs to be expressed. When we've witnessed something amazing, we long to share that with people. And when we've witnessed, when we found the all-surpassing treasure and seen the beauty of God, the good news of the wonder of our salvation, that overflows in being compelled to sing. How can we not just delight in singing the words, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." We're compelled to do that. Why do we sing? We're compelled to. We're commanded to. We're created to. Next, how to sing. How do we sing? Now, some of us might be rubbing our hands together. I've never been able to sing in tune, so this is now I find out how to sing. Well, sorry to disappoint you. That's not what we're thinking about at this point. Some people can sing tunefully, and others of us not so much. Well, wherever you fit on that sliding scale, I've got some good news for you. God created you to sing, and he is much more concerned about your integrity than your tunefulness. God is much more concerned with your integrity than your tunefulness. The other day I picked up Joshua from preschool, and I was told it's nursery rhyme week. And the people who were looking after Joshua were just quick to tell me that Joshua had taught everyone his favourite nursery rhyme, "Who's the King of the Jungle?" And he told them all this song. And inside my heart was singing. And I thought, good on you, Joshua. Why? Because he sang it so beautifully? I can guarantee not. But because of the words, because of the message that was communicated. Keith Getty writes this: your Heavenly Father cares whether and what you sing, but he does not mind how well you sing. While we may have choirs within our churches made up of voices who have expertise and ability, the congregation of a church is the ultimate choir, and it is without auditions. Everyone can be in it and should be in it. And Kristen Getty's vocal coach says, we are all singers. Some of us have talents that allow us to sing with beautiful tones and good pitch, while others have talents to sing with their soul. What a beautiful sound we all make as singers to our Heavenly Father's ears. So do you get the point? God knows our ability. He knows how he made us, and he is very pleased to hear us sing if our words are good and heartfelt. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we just don't take it seriously. We want to improve and be as good a singer as we personally can be. But again, to quote Keith Getty, once we've reached our peak, if it is still short of the tuneful heights that maybe it should be, a sense of humour is also a useful ally. Some people do have a special gift of singing absolutely every note slightly off pitch, which ironically is very hard to do. Since we sing to encourage and praise, not to impress and earn praise, we can smile about that and sing anyway. Keith Getty is certainly not trying to downplay beautiful singing. His life's given over to that. It's just not the main or highest characteristic that we are pursuing. You could have the most beautiful singing voice and yet be singing the most hate-filled words or with the blackest heart around. So how are we to sing? Well, back to our verse in Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let's just pull some straightforward things out of that verse. How are we to sing? Well, firstly, guided by the word of Christ. Guided by the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How can God's word dwell in you richly? Well, through Bible study and Bible memorization. But let me ask you a question. Can you recite right now more scriptures or more songs? We could do a survey. If you can recite more songs than scripture, remain in your seat. Okay, I've rigged the survey result, but you get the point. We all, can we not? Well, I'm sure nearly all of us can remember more songs than we can scripture. Why is that? Because songs and music have a wonderful way of etching things onto our brains. So a wonderful way of allowing and letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly is through singing songs that are full of fantastic Bible-based lyrics. So how do we sing? Well, we want to be singing songs that are guided by the word of Christ. We want Christ exalting songs so that Christ dwells more in our thinking. And if you have any recommendations, let either me or someone who plays an instrument know. One of my recent favourite requests that I was asked for is, "Yet not I, but Christ in me." What great words. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. What a great thing to have etched into your brain, to take into the week with you. How are we to sing? Guided by the word of Christ. But then also we are to sing to each other. Did you notice? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Now we know, don't we, that primarily we are singing to God. And the primary thing is our worship acceptable to God? We know that. But also we are singing to each other. Why? We're seeking to express to one another the truth that dwells in us, that's shaping us, and we are wanting to share that with the people around us. We are wanting to encourage one another in this. Now, no man or woman is an island. God has saved us and brought us into a wonderful community called church. And as we stand shoulder to shoulder, and as we stand and sing or sit and sing, what we're expressing is, I believe this and so do you as we sing together. I am walking down the same path as you. I'm relying on the same Saviour as you. I want to set my eyes on the same prize like you. And so as we sing, we're encouraging each other. Some people have the idea of just Jesus and me, but that is not New Testament Christianity. We are part of a family. And so what a joy to listen to children belting out some songs, but maybe getting some notes wrong. What an encouragement to see an elderly person who's been through thick and thin, standing and singing as a means of testimony. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll, fastened to the rock, which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Or how moving to witness somebody as part of our church family who has suffered great loss, singing, "You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name." We sing to God. But remember, our singing's also to encourage one another. How to sing, guided by the word of Christ to each other, but also with gratitude to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. When we sing, it's not just our vocal cords that are engaged. It's not just our brain that is engaged. This is coming from our hearts with gratitude to God. Singing of the finest caliber that comes from a heart that is disengaged is not worship of God and does not bring glory to God. Better to be out of tune with your melody than out of tune in your heart. How are we to sing? Full of integrity. Engaging with the lyrics in our hearts to the glory of God. Please do not think that when we sing together, we're just going through the formalities to get to the main event. We are to be engaged in what we are saying as we are speaking truth to each other. So why sing? Because God made us to sing. He commands us to sing. We should feel compelled to sing. How should we sing? Guided by God's word to each other from our hearts. Finally, where to sing? Finally and briefly, everywhere. End of point three. Well, maybe a bit more than that. It's a bit simple, wasn't it? We are to be a singing people. So in Deuteronomy, we read this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, I think singing is going to be a huge part of that. If one of the ways that we etch things into our mind is through singing, there is some wonderful resources out at the moment that helps you to memorize parts of the Bible by singing it. So if we want this to be on our hearts and souls as we're going along the way, as we're talking with children or family members, then singing is going to be part of that wherever we are. Now, I'm not suggesting that our house is going to turn into the Von Trapp house overnight. I'm not suggesting that. But we are full of useful resources, aren't we? We have loads of such good quality things. As we go for a journey in a car, we can put a CD or a tape or an MP3, whatever your car operates on. We can listen to really good quality music with fantastic words. While we're sat around the table, maybe you could sing Grace before a meal. Maybe you could sing what you've heard at church. Maybe it's a song that you're not terribly familiar with. You can go on YouTube and look it up and sing it, teach it to your children. We are to sing everywhere. And of course, that includes at church. We sing songs at church that have fantastic words. Like I said, if you have any suggestions, please let me know. I've got a long list that we're going through, and we don't want to introduce too many too quickly, but so many people, old, young, have come and said, can we try this song, please? So many great, great hymns and songs for us to learn. Please commit to being at church, to singing. Don't miss the opening song. It's not just a formality. It's a really important part of the service. Sing in all seasons of life, whatever you're going through. There will be a song that can bring comfort, that will help you to express gratitude, that will challenge you. So where to sing? Everywhere, at all occasions, whenever you can. So in conclusion, sing with hearts engaged to the glory of God. We give thanks to God for making us singing people. And it would be amiss for us at this point not to say thank you to God for the people he's put in our church who enrich our sung worship. Those who play instruments for us so ably. Those who run the AV system. Those who God has given great voices to that help us, that stand shoulder to shoulder with us. Pray for us as a church that we would sing well. Pray for those who do have responsibilities for playing instruments, running the AV. Pray for those who pick our hymns and songs. Pray for yourself that this would not be a duty, but it was something that we delight to do together. Closing comment. Sorry, non-football fans. Have you ever heard it said that a team's supporters are like the 12th man? Have you heard that at a football match? It's like the 12th man. At Anfield, they talk about, you know, when Liverpool are shooting towards the cop end and the cop is almost sucking the ball into the back of the net with the encouragement that they're giving to their team. They're not just spectators in that. They are committed participants. What a rebuke for us if those people are like that and yet we're not when we come to church to worship our God. Something of infinite more value than a football match. We are not spectators. We should be committed, engaged participants. So, if you're able, let's stand together and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And now everyone's going to be on their best singing duties now, hopefully, with hearts engaged, full of enthusiasm, as we do praise our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this hymn references on numerous times the fact that we are called to sing. So let's stand, if we're able, to sing, O my soul, arise and bless your Maker.